Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 29. Sunday afternoons, we're going through the Psalms, and we are on the 29th Psalm this afternoon. This Psalm is written by David to express an aspect of God that maybe sometimes we don't necessarily reflect on, but it is a wonderful portrait for us to consider. Here in South Carolina, sometimes we can have some interesting weather. We can have electrical storms. We can have wind. We can have sideways rain. And sometimes we can have even tornadic weather. This psalm talks something about God's power as it's expressed in these types of events. Charles Spurgeon had this to say: it seems to be the general opinion of modern annotators, or commentators as we would call them today, that this psalm is meant to express the glory of God as heard in the booming thunder, as seen in a tornado. The verses march to the tune of thunderbolts. God is everywhere conspicuous, and all the earth is hushed by the majesty of His presence. So with that thought from Charles Spurgeon, let's read this psalm together. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sharon like the young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in His tempest doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. We see, first of all, that God deserves the praise of our voices. In verse 1 and 2, the word is used, give. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. The phrase means to voluntarily affirm with our voices and our words. It's something that we do because we want to, not because we're made to. Give unto the Lord. Point B, He alone is the focus of the attention of this psalm, and actually should be the focus of the attention of our praise. When we have someone to praise, it ought to be the Lord. Now, we can give credit where credit is due. We can thank people for what they do. We can encourage them for their accomplishments. But ultimately, all that's made possible because of what God has done. And we need to give Him the glory. Give unto the Lord, ye mighty. It's an interesting phrase because the idea is of one who is in positions of authority or power. In other translations, maybe you have ones called heavenly beings. Give unto the Lord heavenly beings, or give unto the Lord, ye mighty ones. The idea of power and might. Those who are in authority, whether it be created beings, whether it be people, whatever. Those in authority who have power, who have authority, are to turn around and give all the glory back to God. So for us peons, if you please, who have little or no authority, definitely we should be giving God glory. Glory for who He is, for what He does. There's many things. That's why we start our Sunday afternoon service, so we can give God glory. And you've done that, from the smallest of things to the largest of things, giving the glory back to God to help us to see how important He is, how vital He is, how in our life He is, that often we are going to overlook unless we're reminded of it, reminding ourselves or having someone else remind us. So give unto the Lord, ye mighty. Give what? Glory, honor, esteem, splendor, distinction, importance. Letting God know by the glory we give to Him, the praise we give to Him, how important He is to us. How much does your prayer life reveal the importance of God? How often do you tell God how important He is? How often do you recognize His hand of working in your life in details, in small things, in large things, in everyday things. How often do we recognize the significance of God in our life and where we would be without Him, I don't even want to imagine. But we are to give God the glory, the importance, the honor, the prestige, the distinction, the splendor that is due to His name, or that which He rightfully deserves because of who He is. So, you know, when we give God glory back, we give Him praise back, we've done nothing magnificent by that. We've done what we ought to be doing, because God deserves all the glory, all the praise that we could ever give back to Him. He deserves it all. And we should be constantly giving it back to Him and rejoicing in who He is and how important He is. Then we're told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The idea of worship here is to bow in submission to God and to His authority. We cannot worship God if we're not willing to be submissive to God. We will not be submissive to God if we're not willing to let Him rule and reign and have His way in our everyday life. We must be satisfied with that. We must believe that what He wishes, what He desires for our life, is far better than anything we could want. To worship Him, we have to be pleased with what He does in our life. We have to give Him glory for what He does in our life. Sometimes the things that God may bring into our life isn't so pleasant, isn't so beautiful, as we might describe it. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know the purpose of the events that God brings into our life to conform us to the image of His Son. Verse 29 of Romans 8. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole purpose of God working in our life is to make us more like Jesus Christ. We sang the song, "Make me a servant like you, dear Lord." That's what God's doing. In the events that take place, the whole purpose of that is to make us a better servant for Him. So we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness, the beauty, the majesty, the splendor of who He is, of holiness. The word means apartness, separate from that which is common. He is sinless. He is indeed the only one who is, and we must recognize that. But as we recognize that, we thank God that He who is of such majesty and splendor is willing to come down and have fellowship with sinners like we are. We are to bow in submission to God because He is so far above us in importance, majesty, and in quality. So the first two verses tell us that God deserves the praise. Verse 3 through 9 talks about the voice of God. Now what we're talking about here is the audible exhibition of His power displayed in an electrical storm by lightning, by thunder, and by tornado. You say, whoa, now, you know, thunderstorms scare me. Well, if you hear the thunder, you're in good shape. You made it okay. You're going to be fine. If you hear the thunder, and that's what scares us, is it not usually? I saw a short blurb of a lightning bolt that struck a river. I wanted to bring that. How many of you saw that on Facebook or wherever it may be? It's amazing, that lightning bolt striking just the water and the impact that it has. I wanted to bring that to show it. And I couldn't figure out how to do it. I should have counseled with my tech people on bringing that so you could see what we're talking about. You know, we see things like that. We hear things like that. We see on the news where a tornado has gone through and ravished a community and destroyed homes. We don't look at that as something that we would praise God for. But that's what this psalm's about. This psalm is about praising God because of who He is and how He displays His power. It's not praising God for the destruction that the tornado breaks. It's not praising God for the destruction that the electrical storm brings. But it's praising God because He is the one who orchestrated it, who has the power to make it happen, who allows it to happen. He is the creator of it. This is the God that we serve. His voice, first of all, verse 3, thunders. The voice of the Lord is above the waters. The voice of the Lord thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The idea, as we would well know, is first of all to roar, to stir up, to agitate, to be noisy. And that's what thunder does it not? It can be agitating. It can stir up our emotion. It can stir up our dog. Maybe you have one of those dogs that every time it thunders, an electrical storm comes through, you have to restrain that animal because of how they respond or what they do. It can be very intimidating. In Job 37, we find this. At this also, my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven, he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightning when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. Next time we hear thunder, think about that being the voice of God speaking. We know that thunder follows lightning, and that lightning can be way off, miles and miles away, but yet in time we will hear the rumble of the thunder. And if you're really scientific, if you see the lightning and begin to count, by the time you hear the thunder, you can pretty well estimate by the speed of sound how far away that lightning bolt was. If you have one of those weather apps on your phone, and it tells you how far away lightning was, the latest strikes, that's what they have. They have a lot of little guys standing around that app counting the lightning to see how far away. The problem is some of them, you know, when the lightning was 185 miles away, they count for a long time. But that's how they do it. You were wondering how they figure that out. Well, that's how they do it. But we see here the thunder of God, the voice. How often do we think of thunder being the voice of God? How often are we intimidated by the thunder? And very well, that may be what we should be because of the suddenness of the noise and the impression that it leaves upon us and the fear that it may bring to our heart. But when we have that emotion, we ought to associate it with who's behind it. Our God. Our Almighty God. Our powerful God who can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we ever ask or think. And when we think of that, is there anything too hard for him? So the thunder. We see, point B, that it's powerful and majestic. His voice is powerful and majestic. In verse number 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon, Saron, like the young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the fire. So we see here that he says God's voice is powerful and it's majestic. First of all, the powerful concept is superior in strength. Nothing can withstand its fury. Nothing. The psalmist gives an example of the cedars of Lebanon, that the voice of God splits the cedars of Lebanon. He shattereth the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon were a symbol of strength and power. Those trees years ago, back in Bible times, were often cut for building ships and structures that needed lots of durability and power. It was a symbol of great significance, importance, durability, and strength. It was a symbol of, wow, look how majestic that cedar is. And here the psalmist says, God just splits them. With his voice, he splits these great symbols that man has given to power and authority. Our God. Verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, the voice of the Lord strikes with boldness, with bolts of lightning. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness shake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory! I hope the next time we experience an electrical storm, we're reminded when we hear the thunder to shout glory. When we see the lightning, and we're still standing in one place after we've seen the lightning, we haven't suddenly been shaken, split, or moved, we could say glory, because it's an exhibition of the might and the power of our God, our Father, for those of us who know Him as Savior, our Master, the one who is in charge of the events of our lives, in charge of us, the one to whom we submit. There's nothing too hard for Him. There's no sin that He cannot forgive. There's no sinful soul that He cannot save when they come to Him in repentance. Our God, our great and almighty God, His voice. And then third, verse 10 and 11, we see the majesty of God. In verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The majesty of God. First of all, the behavior of the weather is under the control and direction of a sovereign God. Say, well, and I know this brings up a place for debate and a place for questions. And those kind of questions will only come from people who have not submitted to the authority of Almighty God. Well, why does God let this happen? Why do all these people get hurt and lives taken and property destroyed? If He's a loving God, well, let me tell you something. We live in a sin-cursed world. That's not God's fault, that's Adam's fault. Adam is the one who sinned against God. And with Adam's sin, sin entered into the world. And the impact of sin, and the effects of sin, the aging process that we're going through, the diseases that we deal with, the devastation that takes place in people's lives, the sinful behavior of man. Don't blame those horrible, awful things on Almighty God. Thank God that it's not worse than it is. If God were to remove His restraining power from the earth, we would not want to be on it. But our Almighty God is the one who is in control. And in spite of all the evil and the wickedness of the world and the sin that we live under this cloud of impact from sin, sin is toxic. Sin destroys people's lives. Sin is destroying our earth. And yet our God rules and reigns supreme. He is the Almighty. And knowing Him as our Savior and what He's done for us and the blessings that we have from Him, we submit to Him. And if we have to deal with some difficult or challenging things in life, we still say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Because He's God, and He's worthy of our praise. So when we want to talk about blaming God for the weather, this weather that we experience and the devastation that it brings is because of the sinfulness of man. You go back and read what the weather was like in the Garden of Eden. It was nice. No humidity, no need for air conditioning. It was nice. No umbrellas, no need for it. God had everything good. And now we experience the wickedness of sin, even in the weather that takes place. So the behavior of the weather is under His control. B, the sovereign God, who is ultimately this one who has this power and authority and control. He is ultimately concerned for His created humanity. Even though Adam sinned deliberately, God, the first thing that God was concerned about was providing covering for Adam and Eve. That was His first concern. After He pronounced the curse upon the world and upon man, He covered them. And all down through time, as you read about the disobedience, the rebellion of man in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, God always comes back with, I have a concern for my created humanity, and I'm going to do all that I possibly can to make it available for them to be with me forever. And that's what He's done. But we see in verse 11 His concern. First of all, one, God will give necessary strength that His people needs no matter what the conditions. And secondly, God will bless His people and give them peace no matter what the conditions. I find it interesting that this psalm begins in the first two verses with, hey, let's give God glory. And then we're told in the inner circle of the verses about His power and His might and His authority and what He does with the weather and the climate. And then it concludes with, hey, the Lord was going to give strength to His people The Lord, who is voluminous in His demonstration of His power, is going to turn around and give peace to His people. This is our God. He is capable of doing that which He chooses, but He chooses to love you and me and protect us. We're blessed. We are truly blessed to have the privilege of knowing this God. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Christ. Thank you for the privilege that we have of approaching you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for these verses that remind us of who you are, the authority, the power, the sovereignty that you have. Often we need to be reminded. Help us, Lord, the next time we hear thunder and we see lightning, to remember this is a display of who you are, and you're speaking through the lightning and the thunder. May we find rejoicing in our souls, that we might give you glory and praise that you are so worthy of. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for our visitors that have come to be with us. We pray as we go through this week that we might go serving you, we might go being faithful to you, that we might go being servants to you. Lord, you know what each one of us has to accomplish. You know what each one of us has need of. And we pray that we will rest in you and find you to be the source of our joy and peace. So keep us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.